This is a Triple J podcast.
Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic. Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest.
If no, that's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
Oh, let's get into it. It is the shake-up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, and we're ready to get into some of the headlines of the week. With two, may I say, funny, interesting, beautiful, excellent people. Who are they, you're asking? Well, I'm not telling you yet. I will tell you in less than a minute. But first, here's a taste of what we're going to be talking about.
Hack!
The boycott of FIFA is on.
It would simply commercialise all FIFA-owned competitions.
Imagine there being a World Cup where an entire continent refuses to play.
This right here is the reason that Europe will always be the king of football.
Did you attend a dinner at the home of Felix Lee in Point Piper?
I attend lots of functions in lots of places.
I went to the Dolce & Gabbana fashion show. What an experience.
It's time to get money out of politics.
Some staff have been stealing packets of chips off the shelves and eating them without paying for them.
On Triple J. Yeah, from FIFA to donations to snacks, we've got range on the shake-up. Oh, give us that. We have range. And later we are talking about this story out of Tassie, a scandal, all revolving around the Deputy Lord Mayor apologising for taking snacks and drinks from council. I want to know, have you been caught taking something from work? Or maybe you caught someone, one of your colleagues. What happened? A snacks fair game? What is your opinion on this? 0439757555. Hit the text line now. But before we get into that, let's meet the Shake Up crew. And first, Editor-in-Chief at The Daily Oz, Billy Fitzsimons. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's such a pleasure to have you back. You've been on a bit of a holiday recently, haven't you?
I have.
I only know that because I've been on a holiday recently. I just got back and I'm kind of like grasping onto anyone who might have that post-holiday glow as well.
Yes.
Where were you?
I did a sneaky little Europe summer trip.
Okay. Was it what you needed?
Oh, it was just lovely. Okay. And I managed to escape the heat waves, which I feel very, very fortunate.
Yeah, because there's some really intense weather going on over in Europe at the moment. Okay, but now you're back. You're still feeling a bit relaxed or just thrown into that news cycle?
I feel relaxed. I'm always more relaxed in this studio. It kind of feels like a mini holiday.
Okay, that I love. In studio mini holiday. Billy Darcy, what do you think of that?
I feel particularly stressed when I'm in this studio, Dave.
Complete opposite. Can I just say, I thought that I was a genius when I locked you both into the shake-up because I was like, oh, I've got two Billies on the shake-up. Billy Darcy, Billy Fitzsimons. What did you think, Billy Darcy, when I'd done this?
I think it's Hannah Montana, best of both worlds, mate. When I come on here, I think it's a great show. We could probably use another Billy.
That's true, but then I am now worried. I'm just clocking it now. Maybe I've gone one Billy too many in the sense that it could get confusing when I'm saying, Billy, what are your thoughts on this? Or when someone's on the text line saying, I agree with Billy, but I disagree with Billy. Are we going to have nicknames?
No, there are never too many Billies. You should just change your name to Billy.
I'll just internalise the texts that I want to internalise and disregard the ones I don't.
Yeah, how about we do that? We choose our own ending in terms of the Billies. So this is the Shake Up on Hack. I'm joined by Billy Fitzsimons, Billy Darcy, and me, Billy Marchese.
FIFA tried to sell the World Cup to private investors in secret. Europe said absolutely not.
On Triple J. Yeah, it was mere weeks ago, wasn't it? Everyone was basking in the glow of the World Cup, that truly unifying global event that had football fans and everyone else actually celebrating, commiserating. But all those party vibes have evaporated pretty quickly, haven't they, over a controversy involving football's governing body, FIFA, and its plans to sell stakes in the World Cup. Now there are plans for a boycott.
Hack!
The future of global soccer in absolute chaos right now.
Europe is threatening to boycott the next World Cup if FIFA goes ahead with a plan to sell stakes in the tournament to private investors.
Germany, France, world champion Spain would all be excluded from the next World Cup.
This is like one of those Scooby-Doo reveals, isn't it? Except I think Gianni Infantino might be worse.
It's the end of Infantino, or it's the end of the World Cup.
On Triple J. Yeah, what do you think of this? If you're a football fan, FIFA's saying, hey, let's let private investors get involved in our commercial operations, including potentially some members of Donald Trump's family. Look, the argument is it would bring in more money for football. The argument against is it's destroying the game and putting profit ahead of competition. What are your thoughts? 0439 757 555. It is the shake-up on Hackham. Dave Marchese getting into some of the headlines of the week with my panel of Billies. Billy Fitzsimons from The Daily Oz. Billy Darcy from comedy. That's what we can say. From Good Times. Billy Fitz. Yes. How do you feel about that? Do people call you Billy Fitz?
Yes,
okay,
all the time.
Okay, great. Billy Fitz. Not a good time for the president of FIFA, Gianni Infantino. Like, I saw The Daily Oz covered this just a little while ago, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's clearly a very unpopular decision. But the question that I had, I'll be completely honest, I'm not a big FIFA nut, although I did watch all of the games. I loved the World Cup games.
So you really got into it.
Oh, I got it. It's so good. It's so fun. My question that I had going into reporting this was, sport is commercial in so many different situations. Like, if we think about the English Premier League, for example, that's a business. Am I right?
Yeah.
No.
There's a lot of business being made around sport every single day.
And so I didn't fully understand why FIFA couldn't be commercialized, but then Billy Darcy has the explanation that we all need.
Hold on. How do you know this? Are you a clairvoyant that he has the explanation? Yeah. Have you guys talked about this off air? I saw you talking before you came on the radio. I was like, what? No. Save it for the shake-up. Billy Darcy, what are your thoughts on this?
Oh, Dave, you know I'm a larrikin by trade, Dave, but I'm not laughing today.
He's not laughing today, and I remember because we had you on recently talking about the World Cup and you had big thoughts.
I love sport. I think it's so pure. This Infantino, Gianni Infantino, he's a legit supervillain who must be stopped at all costs.
Okay.
Because this is the latest in a series of incidents that this Pelican has been involved in. Like, in the World Cup, when he overturned that red card suspension for the American player, that brought the tournament into disrepute. The integrity of the sport was damaged by that decision.
So this was a moment in the World Cup, people might remember, we spoke about it on Hack, where, yes, there was a red card, then a decision made to overturn it. There were all these talks about Gianni Infantino, the FIFA boss, his relationship with Donald Trump, the US president. So people upset about that, disregarding this proposal.
Yes, this last proposal, he's not consulted a single country in any of the federations. He's given them a deadline. The sport is not his to sell. And I think we've already seen with the hydration breaks in the last World Cup to get more ad breaks in there. You got the halftime show where halftime at the World Cup final shouldn't go for 35 minutes. That's not football, Dave.
Okay, so you're saying you're already noticing a change in how the sport feels, and some of these measures that are designed to potentially bring in more money or bring in just more audiences, they're not sitting well with you.
No, and it's consistently his interests above the game, which, as the president of FIFA, like, dead set, mate. Only job is to look after the game.
Can you see Billy Fitzsimons? Why you think people might be really passionate about this stuff? Like, are there people in your friend group, your family, who are really passionate about sport? Are you noticing with the Daily Oz audience that when you talk about this stuff, people really get engaged?
Oh, when we report on this at the Daily Oz, people are so angry, exactly like Billy Darcy has explained to us. I'm convinced. I also have seen the suggestion that if it was to become commercialized, it would go from every 4 years to every 2 years. I'm completely against that. I think part of why it is so special is because it is more rare and it is such a big event. If you have it every 2 years, I think that does take away from how big the tournament is and how important it is.
We've got a lot of messages coming through on this. Someone says, I agree with Billy. Please, again, be specific which Billy, but they say there's been so much corruption in FIFA, needs a change. I'm guessing maybe Billy Darcy, they're agreeing with you there. Someone else saying, this will be the death of football once we knew it, if it ain't already. There's also another message about Gianni Infantino, but I cannot read that message. That message, oh my gosh, people do not like him, Billy Darcy. It is very clear on the text line. There are some who have some strong critique for the boss of FIFA. I mean, his position as the boss of this organisation has been pretty secure. Like, he's been in the job for a while and it was looking like he might be extended for another term. But I guess there are a lot of people questioning whether he should be the boss at this point.
Well, I think the problem with power, Dave, is only psychos want it. So everyone else is sitting back enjoying the soccer and you got this bloke all over the gaff in a Saudi jet doing whatever he wants, completely unchecked because of his political ties. And I think it's just enough is enough. UEFA, the European Federation, put out such a strong statement. All 55 countries voted against this privatisation. And the fact that Donald Trump's, what is it, son-in-law's brother is involved in the private investment, like, it, again, it's Infantino's private interests above the sanctity of the beautiful sport, Dave. I'll burst into tears live on air what is required.
You know what?
To convince the listeners we got to get rid of Gianni Infantino.
Okay, so there's your opinion. There, very strong opinion. You think he needs to go? A lot of people agreeing with Billy Darcy on the text line. Someone saying, "Well said, Billy." You can both take that one. Actually, another person, Chris in Melbourne, saying, "Sounds like greedy people have seen an opportunity to feed the greed." I mean, we haven't heard from, you know, our governing body here in Australia yet, Billy Darcy. Like, they're still waiting for a bit more information.
Well, we got a statement, Dave, but it was incredibly weak from Football Australia. It was a let's wait and see what the deal is type vibe.
Well, and I mean, the reasoning behind that, some are saying, is arguably football in Australia could use a bit of money. Like, Football Australia suffered a $15 million loss last financial year, millions of dollars the year before. That. So there are some people who are saying, you know, maybe we do need more money to make sure that the sport survives into the future.
I would say selling the game, the spirit of it, for short-term gain, it wouldn't be the smartest thing, Dave. In my humble opinion, as a local clown.
and a very good one at that, I must add. Someone on the text line saying Trump should have no say in the world game and Infantino should not be pandering to private interests. Yeah, I think there's a lot of just discussion around sport becoming political, Billy Fitzsimons, and, you know, people worried about that, like worried about something that they see as an escape often, all of a sudden being involved in this very complicated political world, which ruins it for them.
Yeah, I remember learning when I was younger that saying that everything is political, and I was like, what does that mean? That can't be true. But it is absolutely true, and that example of Donald Trump overturning a red card that was given in a game, that is absurd. I will 100% agree with you on that. Like, that should never happen, and if commercialising FIFA means that that will happen more often, that should absolutely be enough of a reason for this to not happen.
What about the boycott? Like, do you think that that is going to happen and would be effective, Billy Darcy?
I think if UEFA does it, 100%, because the European nations are so strong in football. They've done it before and it's worked. I mean, a World Cup every 2 years. They play the 2020 World Cup every 2 years. I'm a massive cricket fan and no one cares because you take away the specialness. Major League Baseball, they play like 6 days a week in America because of privatization and corporate interests. So it just sucks the soul out of this thing, Dave.
Yeah, got a lot of messages still coming through. Someone says, I agree, got to get rid of Gianni. Another person says, don't let FIFA be another Trump bankruptcy failure, is that person's thought on the text line. And someone else saying, Football Australia just needs to raise the salary cap or remove it entirely if they want commercial investment in the game here on home soil, is that person's opinion right there. Another person saying, yeah, I don't really follow soccer, the World Cup, but it's supposed to bring us all together. So that's another common thought, Billy Fitzsimons.
The other thing I would say is, on the boycott, if there is one thing I know about football fans, it is that they can do things en masse. I know that they followed that player on Instagram and got them like 60 million followers or something crazy.
That was awesome.
They can do things en masse. They have power as a cohort. And I believe that if they boycott, if they, you know, have these really strong opinions with Billy Darcy as their fearless leader, they will get things done. And I do believe that they will be heard.
Yeah. I mean, football bosses have an extraordinary amount of money and power behind them. But yeah, what Billy Fitz is saying there, football fans ultimately yield the most power.
Pack. When the topic of political donations arises in Australian politics, one example seems to get repeated constantly.
On Triple J.
Yeah, how do we feel about politicians getting stuff off rich people? I mean, it kind of feels like this is a bit of a segue from the previous topic into this one, but I'm talking about presents, dinners, fundraising events. Because there's been a fair bit of focus in the past few weeks on One Nation leader Pauline Hanson, her ties to billionaire Gina Rinehart. But the Prime Minister has also been under scrutiny this week for going to a dinner hosted by a billionaire family.
Hack.
A poolside getaway in Sicily?
She not only paid for Pauline Hanson's flights to London, Rome and Sicily, critics are asking, what does Gina Rinehart get in return?
Anthony Albanese grilled over a fundraising dinner.
Oh, look, I attend lots of functions.
What about this one?
I attend lots of functions.
Billionaire father has faced allegations of tax office deception.
Donations and dinners with a billionaire, beholden to the fossil fuel industry and the gambling lobby. Is this the best option that we've got?
On Triple J.
Yeah, what do you think of this? Does it pass the pub test? Pauline Hanson revealing Gina Rinehart paid for some flights and a high-end fashion show. Anthony Albanese over at a billionaire's place for dinner, despite some in that family facing allegations of deceiving the tax office. What do you think of these stories? Are you worried about so-called cash for access? Would you like to see more transparency in politics? Or maybe you are one of the people that doesn't care. You think this happens? And I'm not that worried about it. 0439 757 555. Already some messages on Hack's Instagram. Steph saying it's improper, lacks integrity. Ali just saying bad, bad, bad. But then Jack is saying if you care, it means you're jealous. All right, a very strong opinion there. We've also got a message on the text line who thinks, I think we should just say B1 and B2 to make it easier with the billies. I don't know, are we a fan of that? Or?
As long as I can be B1.
Okay, it's confusing me because you're sitting on different sides of me. No. They're not bananas and they're not in pyjamas. That's what I'm saying. This is The Shake-Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. Getting into the headlines with Billy Fitzsimons, editor-in-chief at The Daily Oz, and comedian Billy Darcy. Billy Fitz, people had been wondering a lot about the Pauline Hanson trip, Sicily, who paid for what. Mm. Now we know a bit more this week and, you know, people still asking questions about it.
Yeah, I think transparency is the key word here. You have to be transparent with any donations that are given to you or any gifts that you are given. And I think the reason why it is such an issue is because of a conflict of interest. If you are an elected official and you are making decisions based on interests that we don't know about, that is a fundamental issue and needs to be addressed. And if you are transparent and get ahead of it, that is the best way. But also, possibly, the best way is not accepting such sizable donations in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, and this is something that politicians obviously really do not like talking about. Like, they're asked about it in interviews every now and then, and all of them on all sides of politics tend to get a bit awkward when we're discussing it. Billy Darcy, what do you reckon? I mean, there's a lot about this and about the Prime Minister himself going to this dinner at the mansion of a 25-year-old Felix Lee. It was revealed that the family of Felix Lee facing allegations from the tax office about, you know, not paying money, millions and millions of dollars. It's not a good look, is it?
No, I don't think it's a good look. Felix, such a billionaire's name, Felix.
It kind of is.
I don't think you meet a poor Felix out there, but I think it's so important for transparency, Dave, because it recontextualizes what the politicians are saying and the decisions they're making. Like when you have Pauline Hanson standing in front of a private jet with Gina Rinehart saying she represents working class Australians, it's like a cack, you know? It's like hilarious to even think that could be the case when you see that context. Whereas if you just see Pauline saying that without that context, you might take it in a completely different way. So I think the context is key, totally changes the message.
Yeah. I mean, Billy Fitzsimons, did you see the interview where Anthony Albanese was asked about this? And he basically was asked, did you go to this dinner? And he said, oh, I attend a lot of functions. And then David Spears said, no, but did you go to this dinner? And he said, I attend a lot of functions. And then David Spears said, why don't you want to say whether you went to the dinner?
He was glitching, the old fella.
Yeah, I mean, but it is funny, isn't it? You've interviewed Anthony Albanese many times, many other politicians many times, and there is this resistance to even talk about it. Like, do you feel like it might be bit better or a bit easier for people to comprehend if politicians were clearer about this stuff?
100%. I mean, it's shocking a politician not answering a question directly, isn't it?
Scandalous.
But 100%, I don't fully understand why, if the information is already out there, but I mean, I'm in favour of getting ahead of it and declaring it prior to the media finding out. But once the information is out there, I don't fully understand the strategy in not just answering it directly. I mean, this is to go on a bit of a side note, but I mean, even as a journalist, you had to be so careful about any gifts that you are accepting, because if you're accepting a gift from a company one day and then reporting on that company the next day, I believe that you do need to be transparent about that, because there is an inherent conflict of interest in there. And
I mean that's what a lot of the hack audience is saying now. Like, here's what Kelly thinks.
Nurses can't accept gifts over $20 because of strict conflict of interest policies, while politicians can accept far more valuable gifts under separate disclosure rules. It feels like a double standard.
Yeah, someone else on the text line now saying us teachers have to declare a gift over $50. Someone else saying, mate, the political donations make me care less about being so strict on my tax return. Is that person's view there? And look, obviously, we're not encouraging anyone to be dishonest on their tax return, but that's what that person's opinion is. And someone else saying, don't get me started on this topic, guys. No, get started. I want you to get started, please.
I love texting in saying, don't get me started.
It's a great term, isn't it? Don't get me started on this, a big view that you're not ready for. Does cash for access, like, worry you a lot, Billy Darcy? Is it something you think about in terms of when you're looking at politicians and what you're likely to vote for? Is that top of the list? Because some people do get in touch with us, and when we've talked about the Gina Rinehart, Pauline Hanson relationship in the past, they've said, I don't care. It's fine.
Yeah, I've chatted with mates about the Gina Rinehart, Pauline Hanson thing, and it goes both ways, where some people are like, oh, I didn't know about that. What the hell? And I've had other mates be like, yeah, mate, deal with it. That's the reality of things. But I think it's so important, because you don't want to vote for someone and then find out that they're sort of been bought and paid for by this company that doesn't really align with your values. And I think the problem is that no one really knows this Felix guy. I never heard of that bloke in my life before you said that. What's he about? What's important to him? He's obviously got access to Albo. Am I going to vote for Albo? If so, what's with the Felix thing? You know, I don't know anything about this guy. So I think it does change things massively. And you could end up voting for someone who's serving an interest that doesn't represent you.
And there are some politicians who really campaign hard on this stuff in terms of transparency, in terms of donations, in terms of even access to Parliament House. Senator David Pocock is one of those who talks a lot about this stuff. We've got Chris from Melbourne saying politicians are just people and all people have their price. It's a two-way street. Politicians need the rich and influential and vice versa. This is business as usual. Is that person's opinion there? Another person saying, no, it does not pass the pub test. Someone else said, I thought Albo was skipping the Garma Festival because he needed a rest, not because he wanted to be wined and dined. Is someone's view there? And another person saying politicians are supposed to represent all their constituents, not just those that give out donations. I mean, another big story this week, Billy Fitz, is Hannah Ferguson from Cheek Media announcing that she's going up against Albo in his Sydney seat of Grainler. Lot of attention on this. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, it'd be pretty big news if a young person in particular, but someone unseated the Prime Minister.
It would. It's funny. I think what I learned from the last election is that safe seats don't exist like they used to. And so I think if this had happened, you know, 5 years ago, you would have thought he has such a large margin in the seat that he holds that it's almost on the verge of impossible. But after the last election, we saw Peter Dutton, who was the opposition, get unseated. Now, granted, I think there was a lot of context around how unpopular he was, and I'm not sure that Prime Minister Anthony Albanese is quite there in terms of that level of not being popular like Peter Dutton was. But Hannah Ferguson seeing a young woman have a go is incredible.
Yeah, a lot of people saying that, like, they're inspired by seeing a young person say, actually, I'm just going to put my hand up and give it a go. Look, we're going to get on to our last topic of the show.
Hack. Hobart City Council Deputy Mayor Zelinda Sherlock is facing calls to step aside.
Commonly known as Snackgate, the taking of snacks and drinks at council lounge over several years.
The treats in question include soft drinks, wine, beer, crisps, nuts and chocolates.
On Triple J.
Yeah, we've got a snack scandal, everyone. A snack scandal out of Tasmania. Hobart Deputy Mayor Zelinda Sherlock admitting and apologising for taking snacks and drinks from a council lounge over several years. Now, it's turned into a whole saga down in Tassie. The council's fighting, emotions are high. But it got me thinking, have you ever caught someone taking something from work? Or maybe you have been caught yourself. What was it? And what's the line? What is acceptable? What is not? A bickie here and there? Is that fine? I don't know. 0439757555. Please call in with your thoughts as well if you've got a great story. It is The Shake-Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into the headlines with Billy Fitzsimons from The Daily Oz and Billy Darcy from Comedy, as I said before. Billy Darcy, what do you think of the Hobart Lord Mayor admitting to taking snacks?
Always good to catch up on what's happening in Tassie, Dave. Please, it's big business down there. We got to start paying these deputy mayors a little bit more. I mean, this is the behaviour of a uni kid working at Hoyts, not a deputy mayor. But look, I will say, Dave, I've had the devil in my ear before, mate. I've got a bit of a history with this. Well, I used to work at Westfield in the car park office in my uni days.
Okay.
And I used to give the ladies at Mrs. Jones, the bakery, free parking in exchange for the leftover sausage rolls at the end of the day.
Okay.
So, you know, corruption.
You were going on about FIFA before, but now you've got your own stories to tell.
I'm a mini Infantino, I really am.
Anyway, we're going to ask Billy Fitzsimons what she thinks about this. Billy, you at the Daily Oz, I feel like you're quite good with snacks because you've actually... I remember you guys have done content in the past, whether it's around elections or whether it's around big nights working overboard in the office, and Sam and Zara have got the snacks, you've got the snacks. Is that all part of a plan to not have people steal? Yeah.
We are such a big snack workplace, and I am often the person buying the snacks and actually doing the shopping. And I am absolutely choosing the muesli bars that I like, choosing the lollies that I like. And then when I go home, I'm taking the muesli bar that I like and eating it on my drive home, 100%.
Okay. All right. So you are taking something from work. What do you think about muesli bars as a snack at work? Does that get the Billy Darcy tick of approval?
I think it's totally fine. I'm friends with Em Gillespie, who works at the Daily Oz. I think you should check her bags next time she leaves.
We start getting full searches in place at the Daily Oz because of this snack stuff. I mean, I want to know what people have maybe got caught taking. Someone says, I work in a tea leaf shop and had a co-worker steal nearly a kilo of tea and other accessories, and my poor manager had to ring up and ask her to pay for it. Oh, my gosh. Another person saying, honestly, they're using the snack stealing as a tool to try to make her look bad. Who cares? Some snacks? The Hobart Council needs to work on other issues instead of trying to make someone look bad, is that person's opinion. Zoe in Queensland saying, I work for a local council and today made myself a hot chocolate that was 2 years out of date and full of weevils. Oh my gosh. We wish we had good snacks worth stealing at our council in Queensland. And someone else saying, look, I took my office swivel chair down the elevator and straight out the front office door. Billy Fitzsimons, that is brazen, right?
That is insane. I do think with this story of the Tasmanian deputy mayor, I believe it is, if your colleague is putting a Freedom of Information request for the CCTV footage of your workplace, which is how this story came out.
Yeah, there's pictures.
If your colleague is doing that to you, you have a fundamental workplace culture that is the real issue.
We do find local councils, they're not afraid to get petty about stuff, are they, Billy Darcy? Like, there's often these stories coming out of local government.
Oh, it's bloody good to see a local council doing absolutely anything at all, to be honest. We know what the council's reputation is, but...
Someone on the text line now saying, I may have stolen a fridge.
What? Oh, wow.
No, please, don't be taking stuff like that, people. I'm talking about a biscuit here and there. Someone else saying toilet paper is a popular one if maybe you're short a few squares at home. Might pocket a couple of pieces of toilet paper. Have you ever been accused of that, Billy Darcy?
No, I've never been accused of that, but I think the wheelie chair one's good because you can ride the old girl the whole way home. So
transport sorted all the way out of work. I mean, you've got probably a good rider, I would say, when you go and perform at comedy events. I want to ask what it is, but I actually don't have time, Billy Darcy, sadly.
My rider is...
I've got to tell you anyway. No, what is it? What is it?
No, I'm just kidding, Dave. Finish the show, you bloody clown.
Finish the show. That is all we've got time for. Thank you so much to our amazing shake-up guests. As always, Billy Fitzsimons, appreciate you coming on and glad to see that holiday glow still there.
Thank you.
And Billy Darcy, we'll get more into your rider and your hectic demands as a performer on the next Shake Up, all right?
Thank you, Dave.
And a big, big shout out to the hardworking Hack crew. Hack.